Welcome to today's podcast. Very excited about hanging out with Stanford Steve and the Bear, Chris Felica. We're going to talk college football, playoff scenarios, the future of the playoffs, and all of our picks against the spread. A little dinner contest for us with the conference championship games. In the open, the Rams, was the price worth it? Because it's a heavy price for a Super Bowl last year. Life advice, our FanDuel picks for our contest as well. So enjoy. It's the Ryan Russillo podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available. And listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 and older and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Hulu Plus Live TV. Looking for a better way to watch live TV? Stream your favorite sports and shows on over 95 live channels with Hulu Plus Live TV. Get access to Hulu's entire streaming library, Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, all in one plan. Start your free trial of Hulu Plus Live TV today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Access content from each service separately. Learn more at Hulu.com. I want to start today's show talking about the LA Rams. Now, we know they're the defending Super Bowl champs. They're also on track to have the worst winning percentage of any Super Bowl winner. They would have to surpass the 4-12 Raiders. They have the third worst record in the NFL at 3-8. Only Houston at 1-9 and Chicago at 3-9 or worse. They have the second worst point differential at -75, which would, if they stayed at -75 or worse, would be the worst ever of a Super Bowl defending champ. Let's look at the offense. They're last in yards per play. They could end up being the worst in five seasons. Their O-line ranks 23rd and 27th in pass run win rate, according to ESPN.com. They have one O-lineman in their projected starters that was a member of the group that protected Stafford with the Super Bowl winning team. Stafford is 20th in QBR. He was fourth last season. And news this week, they could shut down Aaron Donald, who's going to miss his first game ever in his career due to injury. Cup, whose timeline doesn't make a ton of sense to bring him back, and Stafford, who is still in concussion protocol. Not great. Let's take a look at the cap situation. According to overthecap.com, in 2023, they're going to have $99 million tied up in Donald, Cup, Ramsey, and Stafford. Everybody liked Ramsey when it was good. Donald made sense. Cup is a top wide receiver. Stafford, when you bring a guy over like that, you give him money. That's just the way it works. Ask Denver. There's $6 million that's not accounted for already, but look, to be fair, you move stuff around. That's not how it's going to work. They'll figure some of the stuff out. But in 2024, that number jumps up to $136 million committed to Donald, Cup, Ramsey, and Stafford. Looking back at some of the financial decisions the Rams have made in the past, I didn't always love them. The Goff contract, I kind of get it. He was the next young guy that was up. They felt good. They gave him all the money, even though he wasn't the guy. The Gurley contract never made any sense. They paid a running back more money than they needed to at a position nobody else pays for other than Dallas, and they did it a year before they had to. You could really nitpick if you want to go back to the Brandon Cooks resources that were used there. So some of the histories that they don't always spend in the best ways, but it's hard to argue what they did last year because of the results. The draft is where it's really going to get nasty. They will have not selected in the first 50 picks unless they trade back in since 2017. The fuck them picks meme is funny when it works. It's not going to be funny for Rams fans, depending on where that Detroit Lions pick lands. Looking over at what they've done, Ramsey two firsts and a fourth, Von Miller, 22 rental for a second rounder. I don't know. I love Von Miller. I was cool with it. Stafford was a 22nd and 23rd first, a 21st third rounder. Now, the 2023 pick projects, as we just said with the records, is the number three pick. Could be number one. How's that going to feel if Bryce Young, CJ Stroud are really that dude? You'd think Detroit might take one of those with their two top picks. Who knows? It's not going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of pain. But it's a very simple answer to a very simple question, and that is, was it worth it? Well, yes, it was worth it. I've said this a few times, but every time I'm in a stadium, whether it's a college stadium, pro stadium, an NBA arena, I always look up at the banners, right? You look up at the years. And as a kid, it was always something that would, like, I don't know, maybe it's just liking history. You would think about, like, what was that like? Like, okay, what happened that year? Look at that gap. And that's the thing, the gaps are sometimes no banner or no year that is commemorated. I was at LSU for the Bama game. They've had a good run the last two decades. Won it in 03, 07, won it in 19. They played in another title game in 2011. It's pretty good. It's actually really good. Because imagine being an LSU fan and then winning it in 1958 and turning to your buddy going, yeah, it could be like, I don't know, 50 years before we win one of these again. It just doesn't seem real, especially in the moment. Imagine telling somebody after a championship, five decades, people are going to die that are never going to experience it. Alabama, who never feels like they're out of it. They were. All of these programs were for long stretches at times. Gene Stallings wins one in 1992, went 17 years. That's not even that bad. But for Bama, imagine thinking right now as a Bama fan, when Saban's run is done, what if we go two decades without another one of these? It feels impossible, but it's very possible. Let's go back to the NFL. The Detroit Lions, who have that Rams pick, they started as the Portsmouth Spartans out of Ohio in 1930. They were there in 1930, 1934. You may remember the Iron Man game versus Green Bay in 32. Potsy Clark, the head coach then, he said, no subs, no days off, just 11 dudes playing both ways. They shut out the Packers 19-0. A radio station owner in Detroit, he decided, let's move the Portsmouth Spartans here. And his quote was to be king of the NFL. They did win four NFL titles, which is another weird marketing thing of the Super Bowl where we just kind of ignore any championship. Imagine if we ignored every World Series before 1960 or every NBA title before 1970. Lakers fans would like that. It just doesn't really make any sense, but it's just kind of what happened after the merger. So let's say you're talking to this Lions owner or ownership at the time. And I, you know, again, I don't know how much the radio station part of it was involved 20 plus years later, but say when the merger's about to happen and you're talking to Lions ownership going, yeah, we're going to start this new thing in, but you're never going to be in it. You're never going to be good. It's going to be, I don't know, 60 plus years in counting before you even get a chance to play in this new game we've designed. Browns ownership, because again, the Lions are one of four NFL teams not to have a Super Bowl appearance, Jacksonville, Houston, and Cleveland. They wanted a Super Bowl so bad, they guaranteed $230 million to Deshaun Watson, which is technically $106 million more than anyone is guaranteed under any current deal, guaranteed at signing. I grew up a big Red Sox fan. It seems impossible that they went 86 years without a championship. Impossible. Relatives depressed about it. It's never going to happen. I'm going to be dead. And some of them died before 2004. If you had told me before 2004 in this run of the last 20 years, if you had said to me during my peak fandom, you can have a World Series title, but the next 5 years you have to have truckers and high school kids pitch, I'd have taken it. I actually think the Red Sox tried that approach in 2020. There's another question that I saw the other day. It was a poll question from a radio show. And let's face it, sometimes you need content. The question was pretty straightforward. Would you rather have an NBA title or Victor Wembanyama? Can you imagine asking the NBA franchises that never had a sniff of it? Like, hey, do you want that thing that we're all worried about? The thing we're all working towards? The thing that causes you angst? Thinking it's never going to happen, being jealous of the Celtics and the Lakers in this incredible history where it feels like they just rotated back and forth between winning championships for such a long time. Can you imagine asking that fan base, hey, do you want one? Do you want that thing you want so badly? Or do you want this French guy who's 7'4"? Now, I get what the bet is, right? I get what the bet is. The bet is, well, I can take the one where I can get a little greedy about this. And if I have Wembanyama, I have a chance maybe of winning multiple championships. Yeah, I get it. Like, I get the bet. But it's also a ridiculous question to ask because there's also a chance that Victor Wembanyama gets hurt I actually think before his body kind of fills out, it's probably more likely in the beginning of his career, he's going to have some kind of injury issues and trying to hold up. And what you're asking yourself is like, wait, I guaranteed a title now. And again, this is all hypothetical. It's not real. Or I have a chance for somebody that I'm worried about his health or maybe ask for a trade in 6 years. I mean, it's actually a dumb question. The Rams stuff is going to get bad, right? But when you're there and you're looking at that banner, or you're one of those players with one of those rings, or you're in that front office or that coaching staff where your life's work has actually led to the thing that everybody's striving for, and all the people that you know that never got that chance, or that quarterback who's amazing, who maybe never had any or only has one, and you look back on it, like, what happened? The Rams went all in on last season. And the pain is coming. All right? But the difference is in sports, when you make financial decisions that lead to long-term mistakes, they can't repo rings. Unrelated. I know people are looking for me to make a Chris Paul statement. My statement is thus. I have no statement. This episode is supported by State Farm. So look, a little rock hit your dude's windshield on the highway. And at first you're like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's just a little mark. Nope. Now by the end of the ride, it's a big crack. And it'd been a while. So I check out the State Farm app. I go, hey, this is what happened. And the funny thing is I was like, do I want to go app first or do I call? Old school guy, probably should call. It's like, let's check out the app. Not only did it take a minute to get done, they set up the glass replacement. They told me the estimate ahead of time, said, do you want to go ahead with it? And I was like, now I understand. It's all in front of me, all done. I don't even have to talk to anybody. That's how efficient the insurance game has become. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, just like I did, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to somebody. The app was so good, I didn't even need to do that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. I am so excited for our guest right now. We're going to talk college ball. We're going to reminisce just like old times. Stanford Steve, obviously Steve Coughlin, and Chris Felica, the Bear. Stanford Steve and the Bear are the best gambling podcast that's going out there. I don't know what their numbers are. They're always really good. I try to tell everybody like, hey, do you have any picks? I'm like, don't ask me. Just fucking listen to their podcast and stop. Because I don't want to go 2-0 with a new guy. Because then that means I'm just getting texts all the time. And then when I lose, it's like, oh, dude. I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's why I don't want to do this. One of the best parts about the job, when we're all there together, is that, you know, Stanford Steve and I would be on these flights back from college campuses and we'd try to play out 1,000 different scenarios for segments and be like, well, what if this happened? What if this happened? As soon as we start doing it, we get this long email from Felica being like, what about this? What about this? So it feels a little bit more straightforward on this. Let's just start with you, Bear. How many teams do you think are realistically still alive for the playoff?
Five. I think it's the top four and Ohio State. I'm not buying the Alabama stuff at all. It would go against everything that every committee has ever utilized in placing teams in the tournament, in the playoff, whatever you want to call it. Like, two losses, what's their best win? Beating Texas on a last-second field goal when the Longhorns had a backup quarterback in there? Beating an Ole Miss team that's gone down the drain late in the year. You beat Mississippi State. Like, look, it's funny because I've always been an advocate of best teams, best teams, best teams. But I'm not even sure that in this instance, it's so funny because for however many years we've kept hearing, oh, we need different teams. It's the same teams in every single year. And here we are with USC and TCU on the verge of getting in. And now everyone's like, oh, but Alabama and Ohio State are still the best team, so they should be in. So pick a damn lane and stay in it. What do you want to do? But I think it's as simple as USC wins, they're in. USC loses, Ohio State's in. I think TCU's in, win or lose.
See?
Yeah, I still have Bama in as a possibility, Brian, because just think about 1 week ago, right? 1 week ago, what were the scenarios? What if Ohio State beats Michigan in a close game? What if Michigan beats Ohio State in a close game? What if Ohio State blows them out? No one brought up what if Michigan blew out Ohio State, and nobody went there. So I still think it's a terrible idea for Alabama to have a possibility of with two losses and not even win their division. But I'm not going there and counting everything out. I do agree with Bear. If it's, you know, SC, you know, hinges on Ohio State, I do feel good about TCU. I hope the committee does about them and their resume and not worrying about what happens this week. The one thing I was wondering about is if 1-2 could move, if Michigan could get to one. That's the one thing I was starting on, because they've got all the momentum now. And if Georgia is not impressive at all and Michigan comes up, you know, with another 50 burger or something, could that sway? Because now I'm just starting to think about the matchups in the semifinals. So I still think Bama and Ohio State are a very, very long shot.
Okay, so there's a lot to go through there, but you're right. Like, none of us were playing out the scenario of, like, what if Michigan houses them? Because at halftime, I'm like, okay, Ohio State's moving them around. They're going to figure this thing out. And then it was the exact opposite. I did not expect a 28-3 run from Michigan against that Ohio State team. But I really liked Feldman on Monday, where he was there at the game and on the sideline. And it felt like, no, like, Ohio State ended up being the team that broke. And once they got punched, it was kind of like, holy shit, we're not going to win this game. And to be at home and kind of look that uncomfortable was really surprising. But going back to kind of how I felt at halftime, I was like, if Ohio State loses a close one here, it's better for the Big Ten because they're probably going to get both in. And then I kind of look at, like, all right, but this game was competitive and then it wasn't. So it's not the same as a blowout. And then my least favorite thing, which I am just as guilty of as everybody else, we bring up last second field goal with every outcome. Where it's like, yeah, but, you know, last second field goal. And it's like as if the last second field goal absolves everybody from everything, which in some cases it does make sense, right? It does make sense that it's like, hey, that was really close the rest of the way. But I think we have to look at the result, even though I like the body of work and not minutes after losing at home against Michigan. The body of work part of it is you're going, okay, how do I actually feel about Ohio State? Like, you can't say they're better than Michigan now, even though better teams can lose that game. Do you think, I mean, are we sitting here thinking that Ohio State, it's kind of the same thing with Alabama. For years, we're like, look, would you pick that team straight up against Alabama? And the answer would be almost no for 10 plus years. This year's a year where I go, I don't know that I definitively feel like Alabama is better than Ohio State. Do you?
No, I don't. I don't at all. I we talked on our podcast about Ohio State and Alabama, and I think I would pick Ohio State in the game. I really would. I know Alabama will be favored by the guys in the desert, but I went and saw him in person against Maryland, Ryan. I do think there's plenty of good, but you just saw Ohio State in a predicament that you haven't seen him in all year. Michigan wore on him. You talked about it. The guys had hands in C.J. Stroud's face in the second half. We haven't seen it all year, and, you know, they caved. You know, they did. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have that counterpunch. So that's, I still think there's capability. And what I brought up to Bear is that's why I start talking about these matchups, because I don't know what's going to happen this weekend, but is there any way Ohio State can meet Michigan in a 2-3 if something bad happens to TCU and they become the 4 and Ohio State gets the rematch just like that in 40 days? I mean, that, think about how that's a best case scenario instead of having to wait a whole nother year. I still look at that as a possibility with how these teams are structured. So anything is on the table. But when it goes back to Ohio State and Alabama, I still lean towards Ohio State.
What I love as well, people are like making the argument that Ohio State should be in over TCU. They're better. No. And you hit the nail on the head, Ryan. Like, are we sure Ohio State's better than TCU? I'm not. Like, I look, Ohio State, we know the 5 stars, we know the talent, but they've kind of been stuck in the mud for a good part of the year. Trevion Henderson has been nicked up. They haven't been Jackson Smith and Jigba has the slowest healing hamstring in the history of college football. The defense was exposed last week. Like, I'm not sure that they're necessarily unequivocally better than TCU. And you look at the schedules as well, and you talk about resumes. TCU is going to have a better strength of schedule. Their strength of record is better. And like the quality wins, like if you look at Kansas State and Penn State, they're ranked right around the same deal. Notre Dame and Texas are kind of ranked right around the same area. Like the resumes are basically the same, with the exception of TCU having the edge in the schedule. So I don't get this whole Ohio State's win over TCU if the Horned Frogs lose either.
Yeah, look, I think we'd all agree Ohio State from a talent standpoint is far superior to TCU, but I just had this moment with TCU, and it was the Texas game, you know, mm-hmm. and Chris and Kirk were doing that game, and if you watch the whole game, you're like, they kicked their ass.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. I can't help
but if you watch it again, Ryan, it's even worse the second time you watch it.
Yeah, I know what the score is, but that's one of those, if you had a wedding that weekend or something and you're on the air and you're coming back, you're like, oh, one score win, not that impressive. That was, yeah. They had seven straight wins by 10 points or less, longest since UNLV in 1975. So my defense of TCU is that I've grown to love the resiliency, and then the Baylor game in the second half against Duggan, like, I just went, this guy's a fucking stud. He's missing all of his best weapons, and he's just doing this on his own. He gets the two scores, and they win. So, yeah, I'm not going to argue TCU's talent over Bama or Ohio State. I don't even know that I don't think I would argue it against Michigan's. But what I would say is that I grew to really appreciate them. Mm-hmm. And this is the part of it that's going to be really frustrating. Like, they're only favored by 2.5 over K-State. K-State's been better with Will Howard. You know, I know there's some rumors that Adrian Martinez could find a way to maybe get into this game, and they're saying how they're preparing for two, one of my least favorite
Why would you play Martinez? Just play Howard. They've been great with Howard.
Right. Like all these, my biggest thing, like the biggest, you ask the guys, be like, was it the worst week ever having to prepare for a different quarterback also with reps? Be like, man, we didn't even know what to do. We were tying our shoes wrong. I would hate to see TCU with the extra game get jumped here, but we are conditioned to believe that you're supposed to be jumped when the team is at home. And I think too often it's kind of looked at like standings and not rankings. So I'd have a harder time with TCU losing. Say they both lost. You're Barry, you seem to think TCU's in no matter what, and USC's the one that's in danger, correct?
Yeah, I do, because I still think there's a perception out there about USC and how bad their defense has been. It's still a stigma with that Pac-12 as well. I think the fact that USC, I think, has just basically been the beneficiary of these teams in front of them losing, and they've just kind of eked up. I don't think there are people out there that think they're one of the best four teams in the country. I think if you look at a lot of the power ratings, they're a borderline top 10 team at best, and they already have the loss, and they've had a bunch of other games that they very easily could have lost. So I think the perception, if they pick up their second loss in the Pac-12 championship against Utah, I think that's going to sway people enough to be like, okay, they got two losses. I know the second loss came in the conference championship game, and they had the 9 conference games, but I still think there'll be this football judgment where people will think Ohio State's better than USC, right or wrong.
I tend to agree, Ryan, but still, I just think about the committee, and TCU should be in. They should be in. You talked about it, how you've seen, you know, they've grown on you. You're as tough a grader as there is and I've ever met. If TCU is going to grow on you, I feel pretty good about my love for TCU and why they are so deserving. I think that's what you're getting at, of what they've done. And when you try and compare, you know, them to everybody across the country, like, look what we did all year. We compared them to Ohio State. They look pretty damn good now compared to Ohio State with no blemishes, and then Ohio State having that scar of a loss last week. So I've been in TCU's camp. I had them at two, like two, when Bear and I started doing rankings before the rankings came out. I had them at two because I just loved what they did. I go all the way back to the SMU game when that's a huge, like, you find out about your team, and that's what I think Sonny Dykes did. If you go back and read the quotes after that game, he's going back to play his school that he just coached. He's got no idea what he's got for a team. He had to make a quarterback change because of an injury in the first game against Colorado, and boom, Duggan comes out and lights it up, and now he could get the hell out of Dallas with a win. He's the happiest guy in the world, and they've ridden that win all the way to this. It's an awesome story, and they are so deserving of the spot that they're in right now.
Yeah, picked seventh the preseason, and here they are with a chance to win this thing. And, you know, I think every year you can find arguments that all feel valid, but then it's like, okay, but that argument's ruled out, where, you know, this year you're going, all right, so two teams are going to play here in SC and TCU, and if they were to lose, they're going to get jumped on Ohio State team that lost at home to Michigan, which, again, you know, Michigan's one of the two best teams that we think right now in college football. But then we've had the other years, you go back to 14, where TCU fans don't need to be reminded, where Ohio State absolutely puts it on Wisconsin with shotgun there, and then they jump them. So it's like, well, wait, that can jump. Look, the conference championship game, it felt like the Big 12 didn't want it when they got rid of it because they felt like the extra game was hosing them. And then it was like, wait, now we feel like we're being left out, so now we should go ahead and do it. And it's like, well, every year it's a moving target because you don't – nothing is in a vacuum. Each year we have different things that you're comparing yourself here to. So I would be – I don't know. I think I would just be bummed out if SC or TCU with the extra game got jumped. It sounds like you're both saying you'd be really pissed if TCU would be jumped with a loss, but SC you'd be okay with. Is that what you're both saying? Both of you are saying you're okay if Ohio State were to jump SC with another loss to Utah.
I am, because, Ryan, I think it's really hard to put a team in the playoff that lost twice to the same team. And I get it. We all think the world of the culture that Kyle Whittingham has as a program in Utah, but you can't prove to me you've gotten better when you've lost to the same team twice. And I just that the other problem I have too is this is going to be a playoff that has as least amount of luster on the teams as we've ever had in the playoff. We could have two teams in the playoff that are coming off losses. Like, it just isn't, you know, we were always going like this, right? Teams were playing better, and now it's like these teams are kind of backing in, you know, to the playoffs. So that's one dynamic that I think is going to be weird. And, you know, the non-college football player can be like, oh, look at this, why is this great, da, da, da. But I'm trying not to focus on that because we love the sport. But I do think about that idea of trying to build this thing up if teams aren't coming in with a lot of momentum.
Okay. All right. So I think we're all – I'm not going to be outraged if SC is passed over with another loss. And, you know, when I think about Utah, I realize the rankings here. And again, I kind of made a joke about the whole rankings this past week, because after 7 or 8, I just said, I give up, which speaks to my whole disdain for a 12-team playoff year.
You and me both, man.
Right. Well, look, at Penn State.
What time were those rankings due back in the day? Sunday night? Saturday night?
They were supposed to be Saturday night, and sometimes
you and Felica had to submit them for ESPN.com.
I used to like get a call at Monday being like, hey, are you serious? I think one week ESPN.com was like, here are 49 voters, and I just still hadn't sent mine in because I was coming back from a game day thing trying to get ready for Monday. But all right, so the committee has Tennessee 7, which is, I think, kind of where the cutoff of, at least with Tennessee, I can say to myself, they have the two best wins of any team in college football. I don't really know if that one's debatable. Then Penn State comes in at 8. Clemson, who I'm just so sick of. K-State. I think I like Utah, Washington, maybe even Florida State better than the teams the committee has 8, 9, and 10. It doesn't necessarily mean anything, but at least for me, like when I look at Utah, when I've watched Washington, I feel better about those teams week to week than I would be a Penn State who hasn't really shown anything other than it's going to lose to the good teams.
Yeah. Like, what the amazing thing too about the rankings are? Like, why is UCLA 17th? The UCLA beat Utah. They beat Washington, and they lost a field goal to USC, and like they're 17. Like, I get they lost it on the road at Oregon, but like, I don't know, man. Like, why is Kansas State the same exact record, 9-3 and 10th, and UCLA's 17th and 9-3? Like UCLA's got better wins than Kansas State. They got the same damn record. So, but I'm with you, man. Like, I get people like college football and want more football. Look, we all love watching more games, but this isn't going to change ultimately who's going to win the national championship. More teams are going to get in now, and that's fine. I think you're probably going to run into a situation where some of these second round games aren't going to be very good. For people who like to argue the playoff is good, you can look at a team like Florida State and be like, hey, they're a team now, the way Jordan Travis has developed. Do you really want to play them if you're one of the big boys? Maybe.
Yeah, not. Maybe. But they still almost lost to Florida, who nobody likes. Correct. This year. So,
and then the other thing is, Like, we're going to lose those scenes like we had in Columbia a couple of weeks ago when South Carolina put 63 up on Tennessee. Like, Tennessee's still in. And so it didn't really hurt them in the sense that they're not going to be in the playoff. And it would have taken a little bit of luster off of that great scene. So I'm with you. It should be hard to get in. And I had no issue with it being four, but money talks.
Right. Steve, where were you with the expansion?
I've said for a while, Ryan, like it's pretty hard to come up with four right now. And we're going to go to 12. And I get it. You know, most years
I think we can come up with four. And I think every other year it felt like a fifth had a good argument. But like when you go back to the A&M Notre Dame one, yeah. I was like, hey, A&M's a really nice team. I don't want to hear it. I know everybody's mad at Notre Dame and I know everybody's sick of them. A&M doesn't deserve to get over.
No.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, no. It's not an argument. You think you have an argument, but you don't. But go ahead. I jumped you.
But I just think, like, we laid it out last night after Thamel broke the news on the show, and then to see the bracket where Clemson plays Penn State and the winner plays Georgia, that's pretty darn cool, man. But I don't want to get into the logistics about the playoff because I still think the four top teams should be able to get the home game. But I know that's not going to happen now that they got all the bowls aligned. But you know, that committee is going to make it sound like they're doing rocket science when it comes to this playoff. Oh, it'll be better. I know where Bear's coming from, that we're going to lose a lot of this limelight on some of these regular season games. I still think the seeding is going to make those games plenty of motivation, and what you're really going to find out is what schools love their football team. That is the bottom line of what you're going to do, because now you're going to be asked for a little bit more travel. We've seen it.
17
a little.
Games potentially.
Yeah, yeah. So you're gonna see where, you know, fans are gonna start gambling on their own team. Hey, if we can get this one, maybe we don't go to this one. We go to the next one. So I think there's gonna be a lot more investment from fans in their teams, which there should be, because that's what makes the sport awesome.
One of my favorite moments, all of us together at the college football seminar, where we went up. And Ed Lacy, in the middle of me presenting, got annoyed with me and how I was presenting, which is one of my favorite moves ever. Kirk Herbstreit, we had our time with Bill Hancock, who, if he told me tomorrow was Friday, I'd get a second opinion. He said that Kirk Herbstreit asked the best question, because it wasn't what the question was. It was the way he was asking it. He was asking it like Kirk is. It's almost impossible for Herbstreit to be an asshole. But he was going to just put a little dusting. Yeah. Of dickhead on the question, where he was like, hey, Bill, you know, over the years, we can't have that 12th game because of the student athlete. He's like, and now we went to the 12th from 11, and then, you know, we're adding this, and then we got the bowl game, and we're kind of getting to like 14. Like, it, you know, just kind of wondering what that number is, where it's like the student athlete, like how we can do more games now after being told forever we can't do that because of exams and traveling and stuff like that. We're going to be at 17. We're going to be at 17 with these guys telling that. And again, for those that may have missed the breaking news from Thamelon.com, is that the Rose Bowl gave in because they were forced to give in. It was hilarious reading through that story. The Rose Bowl forever. For younger people that don't understand it, the reason why this stuff took so long to ever get figured out is because of the Rose Bowl's power. And they were like, we need this window. We have the parade. It's all of this stuff. And then they were asking for all of this stuff again. And basically the people in charge were like, how about you're left out of all the TV money? How about we do that? So the Rose Bowl agreed to almost just figure out the rest of it later, which is always a dangerous thing when entering into contract negotiations to go, all right, well, all the things we can't agree to right now on paper, in good faith, we'll figure it out later. But they really ultimately had no choice. And I think in the past, people were so respectful of the Rose Bowl, they didn't even want to do that to them. But now it was like, hey, now you're getting in the way of this. So a playoff that was supposed to start maybe 25 or 26 is going to start in 24. So did you like six? Because the six auto bid thing to me was even worse. And when you look at these conference championship games, this is the point I was always going to make, is that, are you sure this is what you want? Mm-hmm. Are you sure you want auto bids? So I felt like the best way to do it is fine, make it eight. We can give the auto bids if you want. And if we have Purdue beating Michigan, Michigan still gets in as an at-large. If LSU were to beat Georgia, you have Georgia getting in and out. There's not going to be three every year or four that feel like they're left out. I'm totally okay with the group of five not having an auto because you're playing a different sport. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If Cincinnati's really good 1 year, we'll let you in. If UCF has a run like they've had, maybe they're one of the auto bids. Or excuse me, they're one of the at-large, but never ever an auto bid for just the best group of five team. I think eight, at least you go, I just have always, whenever I started looking at like, are we going to hear from Oregon State fans complaining that they were left out of the 12-team playoff? Like, that's where you lose me with the expansion. Going, now you're just moving how far the argument can go for teams that have proven multiple weeks this season they do not deserve a chance, even a chance to compete for a national championship. It should be more important. It should be more restrictive.
And that's the thing, like when people are arguing like, oh, they're a conference champion and they're not, like, all conferences are not created equal. But all because a team has a conference champion doesn't mean they're better than another team. And I'm glad you said that. But like, all of a sudden, like, Purdue wins on Saturday. Okay, you want them in? Sure. By all, there you go. There's your automatic qualifier as a conference champion. It just kind of makes a debacle of the situation. And that's kind of what I was saying with Clemson, too, before they picked up their second loss. And like, oh, well, an ACC champion Clemson. I'm like, if Clemson has ACC champion in front of their name, that makes them any better than the team that just went out there last week and lost on their home field to South Carolina? No, it's something good for your resume. You get a ring, you hang a bat or whatever. But conference champion doesn't mean anything to me in terms of how good a team actually is.
Why I like the four, Ryan, is because not everyone is guaranteed a spot.
Yes.
And that's the fun of it. You know, you have a group of five. You have that other power five that's not, you know, I know, you know, this year it's the ACC. And, you know, the Pac-12, you know, was complaining a ton that they deserve a shot. Well, look what happens now in a year in 2022. You got a bunch of teams ranked in your conference. The teams that win versus those ranked teams move up. They have good wins now, and boom, you got a team on the cusp of making the playoff. Like, that's the thing I love about the regular season is seeing everything fall along the way as these teams start to align. I do wonder about the conference championship game because now you look at it and it's like, do we really need it this year? Do we really need it? We know it's always
been
a money.
Do you really need it any year?
Yeah, I know. But we know the conferences have started this, you know, for a money-making thing, and that's what it always gets to. I understand that. But instead of this, and now getting another data point, do we get rid of an out-of-conference game and you play another league game? I mean, all these conferences have a million teams in them now, so why can't we play another conference game to get a little more stability, I think, with the roster? So now you're getting, you know, another possibility of a conference-ranked win. That's the stuff I look at down the road. But I do love the idea of suspense, of not having everybody a guaranteed spot.
Okay, let's go through the picks. We'll put a dinner on this. Whoever comes in last has to buy dinner for the three of us.
Kyle, where's dinner?
Moose Home Frank.
That sounds fancy.
Yeah.
I've never made it up there.
Can I wear shorts there?
I'll Google it. I've never been.
L.A., L.A., you usually can do whatever you want.
I've never been.
Oh, wait. Kyle said he's never been.
This is my ticket, man.
All right, here we go. You ready? Georgia, it was 17.5. Now it's 18.5 against LSU.
I'll just say this. I think it's, you know, Bear and I talked yesterday. Daniels supposedly in a boot after the game. I would think he's going to be giving it a go for LSU. It obviously has lost a lot of its shine with LSU losing in College Station last week. I think it's an over game. But if you want to pick against the spread, I would lay him. Georgia's schedule has been pretty fortunate where they can ramp up for these big ones. I think this is where they start to get the stars aligned. I think the offensive line against LSU's defensive front seven is a real, real good test to get Georgia ready for the playoff. I think Georgia's defense will step up, and I'll take Georgia minus the 17.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia minus the points as well. Daniel's mobility is a big deal, and you look at Kirby Smart and that Georgia defense the last couple of years, when they face top 15 teams not named Alabama, they have allowed 13-3, 11, 13-0-3. They've won by 24 points a game. They won the national title last year, but there still are fans upset down there. There's still players upset down there that they didn't win the SEC title last year. So I think they have this one circled. I think Stetson Bennett adds to his legend at Georgia. I think they get a very easy blowout win.
Okay. Wow. I'll take LSU in the points. That was a talented A&M team. Just want to remind you. Talent is starting to come along. It just all came together one night. All right. Michigan -16.5 against Purdue.
I'm taking the points. This game feels exactly like last year's Big Ten title game. And Ryan, you'll appreciate this. There's this Christmas party that Scott and I will be at again on this Saturday coming up. And last year, we were the only two people in the party that had Iowa plus the points. I will say it wasn't a fun night, but I will say this. I do wonder again about Michigan getting up after that emotional win and going to Columbus and doing it. And I will take the underdog, and I will say this about the underdog. At least they could complete a forward pass this year with Purdue. I think there'll be plenty of people in the building. I think the idea of playing well in a position like this means a lot for Purdue. And I think it's a dead over game. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored, but I think Purdue covers the number, hopefully a lot better than Iowa tried last year.
Yeah, just a reminder, that was a 42-3 stomping of what was supposedly the number 13 team in the country in Iowa last year.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we need to just, the sooner we can get rid of the Big Ten divisions, the better. It's like the sixth straight year. There's been a double-digit spread, and it's obvious that the Big Ten West is garbage. So, yeah, we need to get rid of that. I would probably just take the points as well. I hate it. I don't love it. But like Steve said, Purdue can score. The fact that the game is indoors, I think, helps Purdue as well with an offense like that that is no run, all pass. I think, obviously, they'll have some three and outs, but I think they'll get a couple of big plays and hopefully enough to hang within that number.
Despite my season-long angst with the Big Ten West, I feel like the
season-long
right
or lifelong?
No, it goes back to the Bo Pelini stuff.
Okay.
I used to go on in Nebraska every now and then, and they'd be like, well, what do you think? You know, like, you look at his record. I'm like, look, let's pencil in the auto wins. Like, if he doesn't have seven, he's doing an awful job. Like, they never play anybody out of conference. Then they've got the other teams in their own division. Like, he should be 7-8 wins rolling out of bed. And then as soon as they play anybody good, it was like, oh, shit, they got their doors kicked in. Black shirts.
Husker power.
So actually, you're right. It isn't a season long thing. It's just.
Yeah.
And it's more like when you do the job, as long as we've done the job, there's certain fan bases, there's certain segments that were like, again, everything boils down to my argument of like, if you have a chance to play for a national championship, I need to see a little bit more. I just need to see a little bit more. All right. So
who are you taking in the Big Ten?
Give me Purdue in the points.
Okay.
If there is a Michigan-Georgia rematch, you know what? Let me save that question for that. That'll be the last thing I ask. TCU, K-State, TCU favored by 2.5.
I'm going to take Kansas State. And my argument's going to be the same thing in the Pac-12 that we'll get to. I think if there's one team you don't want to play two times in the Big 12, it's Kansas State because of the funkiness of the offense, because of the capability of their defense. And when I watched that game back, I thought Kansas State caused some problems to TCU with their aggressiveness, where they were overrunning things, and Deuce Vaughn in that run game got going. Howard was good before he got hurt, and then he tried to come back in that game. Had a couple throws for the cover late in that game, but I think Kansas State's going to be a pain in the ass all day. I think it's a lower scoring game. I think 30 points wins the game. I'm going to take Kansas State plus the points.
I have not been very committed to this game or handicapped this game because I have a nice TCU ticket to win the Big 12. So my heart is saying TCU. I think TCU will win again, though. I think they'll beat them again. I think they're tired of hearing about it. The only reason they won the first meeting was because Martinez and Howard went out. I think their defense, the way they played the last 3 weeks against Texas, where they completely dominated up defensively up front and made life miserable for Ewers, the Baylor game and the Iowa State game. They found a way to win all year. They're this close. I don't think they leave it in the hands of the committee. I do think TCU wins. So yeah, I'll lay the 2.5 with the Horned Frogs.
I feel like Kansas State's figured some stuff out here with Will Howard, and I think I like their skill guys better than TCU's.
Really?
Know, it's not a Johnston thing. Johnston, I take over any receiver in the game, but I think the drop off is debatable. And when you look at what K-State's done since the close loss to Texas, they beat Baylor worse than TCU did. I have this weird thing for West Virginia, who was 3-6 in the conference this year. Like, I just don't think West Virginia is an easy team to beat.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like West Virginia is that bad record team, kind of like Nebraska last year, you know, yeah. You actually have to kind of show up and be ready to play these guys despite what the record says. So this is going to sound counter to all my TCU stuff, but it's just simply a play. It's a rematch. I'm taking the 2.5 mm-hmm. points.
I'm exactly the same reasoning.
Yeah. It's not anything remotely like, here, let me start knocking TCU. It's just the rematch and then having the quarterback part settled instead of playing three guys. Okay, USC, Utah, 2.5 points still.
Again, if there's one team you don't want to play in the Pac-12 twice, it's Utah. And when you look at it, I think SC now without Travis Dye for two games, I think Utah makes the most of that. It's getting two games on tape. How's USC compensated for no Travis Dye? They've involved Caleb a lot more in the run game. Now, some of it was unscripted. Both of the touchdown runs were scripted. But I feel like Utah having another shot at seeing that speed in that offense, I thought they did a decent job of keeping guys in front of them. They got stops when they needed to in Salt Lake in that comeback that they had to get in that huge win earlier this year. I like the balance of Utah's offense better. They're healthy. Thomas back at running back. Kincaid's a stud at tight end. And when I look at USC's defense, I can't get there. I can't rely on them. I'll trust Utah's defense to get more stops than USC's defense. I'll take Utah plus the points.
Yeah, I'm going to take Utah plus the points as well. Obviously, Kincaid is a matchup nightmare for SC's defense. If Utah doesn't vomit all over themselves and turn the ball over like seemingly every team USC has played this year, has done with the non-forced turnovers, the unforced errors that so many teams have made. I think they had the one turnover in the first meeting going in. SC didn't stop them. I think they're going to change their focus to try and figure out a way to stop Kincaid, but I think that's going to open up other avenues for the Utes to move the ball. Okay, Caleb's been great. He's been a one-man show, but basically offensively, and he's going to have to be again without Dye there. But I like the Utes here to get the win and send Pac-12 fans home again disappointed. It's Steve and I's tradition of the Pac-12 mm-hmm. team just completely peeing down their leg with an opportunity to do something good. The Pac-12 can't have nice things.
And I'll say this, at least USC wears gold pants, so you won't see it.
I don't know. I think the water on the gold, it would show up there a little bit. A text from somebody who hadn't been to SC in a long time was like, when does this band stop?
Mm-mm.
After last week's win? You had nightmares about that first down chant, right?
Couldn't even study that week because you just have it ringing in your ears from practice. All that. We just played it nonstop during practice. It was still hear it. Still hear it.
I do love their fight song, though. I love the first time I ever went to SC for a game, like as we were walking out from the field, I just stopped and watched that band. I'm like, these guys go so hard. Little Fleetwood Mac on the way out and just the Allman Brothers.
Remember when we tried to cross them in Eugene?
Yeah, that was funny. It was real Braveheart shit. Hold the line. So Steve and I are outside of Autzen, and we're trying to get to the other side because basically every time Steve and I went to a game, if we didn't have the passes already or whatever, it was this awful lost scramble, ask a million people. Then we started coming up with rules of who we would ask or who we wouldn't ask about where certain windows were. And so we'd have to like circle the stadiums all the time while thousands and thousands of people are rolling in. But SC's band does this like four wide march, Game of Thrones type of shit through like an end. And the point is, apparently, is you're not supposed to let anyone cut through. Like, you're supposed to just wait and let the entire band. And we weren't doing it to be disrespectful. We just didn't know. And as we went to walk through, like, you got some little kid with a trombone fucking boxing you out.
Yeah.
And Steve and I are like,
tomahawk chop you.
Yeah. We're like, what the fuck is this move? And you're just like, get off of me. And then guys are like, don't let him break the line. Don't let him break the line. You're letting him break the line. You know, granted, like, Steve is your fullback, I don't have to do much. But we were thrown off. We're like, why are these guys such spazzes about this shit? Like, just let us get through. And it's like, no, dude.
Dude, band pride.
Hold the line. Give me SC because Caleb's a superhero. The Utah game, or excuse me, the Utah game was the first time with him. I sound like a name dropper here, so I'm not going to say it, but I texted somebody, was just like, when they had, 16 seconds left at the end of the first half, I was like, I think he's going to score again. He had an incompletion, which is one of my favorite passes.
It got reviewed. Yeah.
Yeah. There was an incompletion that was one of my favorite passes I've seen anybody throw all season long. The UCLA game, I just think there's something different. And I feel like Notre Dame, which is probably easy to dismiss if you haven't been paying attention, they're better now. So that they really, even though Notre Dame had some late flirtations with getting back into that game and covering, I thought that was a really physical matchup where it felt like USC was more dominant physically than I said. So maybe a good precursor to having to go up against Utah again, because I think all of us would go back to that Utah game thinking like, wait, that was a weird game when it was over. You're like, SC ended up losing this thing, and it's because of Dalton Kincaid, 16 for 224 and a touchdown. I don't know that I've seen an offense just go throw it to that guy every single time as much as Utah had to with Kincaid, because he was their only option, especially Keithy out and everything. It's just a Caleb Williams pick for me, so laying the 2.5.
I'm rooting for US. I want the Pac-12 to get in the playoff.
I do too.
Like Bear said, we've seen this many times, and
we've
tough.
Seen this before.
Yeah, I just like this conference this year. I think their middle teams are really good.
Really good.
Throw Washington on. Granted, nobody's going to listen to this and go, yeah, Ryan, let me go back and watch a Week 8 Washington game. But that's a good football team.
I think Penix should be invited to New York. He's not going to be, but he should for what he did this year.
Steve and I were talking about this the other day on our deal. He mentioned it's like Arizona State beating Washington, like in terms of Power 5 games, like the most ridiculous result of the year. Like, how the heck did that happen?
No, it's a great call. I think it's why people were off of them or didn't take them seriously or when they're going to
Oregon. And it was
the
week after the UCLA, where UCLA really exposed their secondary. But credit to that coaching staff for running the table since then.
Do you think Dan Lanning will ever go on fourth down in his own territory the rest of his career?
I'm done talking about him. I can't do it anymore.
Okay. Clemson, UNC, Clemson -7.5.
Speaking of things I don't want to talk about, I've tried. Bear and I talked earlier this week. Along with the Ohio State wide receiving group, I thought the Clemson defensive front seven was going to be the most dominant group in the country. And I thought it would be even more so because of the competition in the ACC. And it has not been the case at all. You go back and look, that lead just keeps dwindling last week. I'm like, all right, Clemson will get a stop here. And Rattler just keeps throwing balls up. They couldn't get to him. He tried giving him throws. I mean, that throw in the end zone was as bad of an interception as I've seen. But when I look at Carolina, it's the same thing every week. All right, they come out, they go up 7-0, or they tie at 7-7 because their defense can't hang around. So much is on Drake May's plate. I get it. He's been awesome. But you can't lose to Georgia Tech. You can't lose to Georgia Tech, and you got to beat your rival who's on their fourth quarterback. So I don't like what I've seen from either team in the last couple of weeks. I guess I would lay them, thinking Clemson has a chance to get more stops and they could do whatever they want offensively. But DJ's 8-29 last week. I mean, guys are wide open and he can't throw it. And the worst part about it is when these guys are open, I mean, it's seam routes, it's wheel routes. Guys are wide. All he has to do is underthrow him. It's completion. It's this wobbly non-spiral that's 5 yards away from the receiver. So I don't feel great about it. I'll take Clemson minus the points.
Yeah, I think they can basically run the ball on that Carolina defense with Shipley and not really worry about DJ and how bad he's been. I mean, who would have thought that the last couple of weeks he'd lose to North Carolina State and Georgia Tech, and it was really your offense, which was the unit that kind of cost you the game. I think May might have hit a little bit of a freshman wall here, or a first-year starter wall, and maybe that could be a little of the explanation as to why he's kind of performed the way he has, certainly against Georgia Tech. He made a couple of throws late against the Packet, and that came to overtime. But yeah, I would lay the points here. I think it's an opportunity for Clemson to win a game and be able to at least say, hey, it wasn't the year that we thought we could have, but we did win the ACC championship game again. And I do want to pour one out to the ACC Coastal. It's been a conference, the division that's kept on giving. We got the Beamer mean. We got Miami winning ACC Coastal every single year. We've got the Wheel of Destiny with everyone at 4-4. So it's going to be a sad night when the ACC Coastal goes night-night on Saturday.
Yeah, no, it's good pouring out. I'm going to go with you guys because I'm so anti-Clemson, I'm sort of fading myself here. I think a lot of people are going to look at this because they're looking at expectations of Clemson being a national title contender, which is another reminder. If you go back to the beginning of the season, you watch Georgia smash Oregon, you know, everybody gets off the start and it's just, it's going to be these teams again. And you go, the lack of parity is not the norm. The lack of parity that we've had is not normal. And this is what it should be like. Although I did hear McElroy compare this year to 2007, and I'm very protective of 2007. This year, there's no year like 2007. No. This was not a 2007 year. It's no one.
No.
No one should be comparing any year to college football's 2007.
Nope. I'm going to have to yell at him the next time I see him about that because 2007 saw like number one lose like four straight weeks. Like
Boston College. UCF, Kansas.
USF.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah,
Missouri was playing for a trip to the national championship game.
I think UCF just recognized themselves as number two there.
They probably did.
That's my bad.
Exactly.
Okay, last thought here. Why would a Michigan-Georgia rematch be different this year?
Because Georgia's not as good as they were last year, and Michigan's better than they were last year, Ryan. Bear and I have gone back on this, you know, the last couple weeks about are they the odds-on favorite? Yes, they are, but I still think the motivation of having another chance with a better group of guys. Now, Michigan's got to be healthy, and I think they could get there, you know, talking to people about Corum and Edwards. I think that's a huge part. I think McCarthy really, really showed me something last week, man. I was really impressed. He beats the blitz on that first touchdown. He makes the throw. Then they get the tight end wheel. And then that run he had in the third quarter, I really thought was really impressive. He's got a ride and decide. He keeps it. And he trucks dudes for like 13 yards. And ends up standing up right on Ohio State sideline at the 50-yard line. And you saw him like gave the sideline a look, and that I thought that was a game changer. I really did, because he said, "I'm here." And I think there's some intricacies of that Georgia defense where you could piece together. They don't have the guys to get them lined up and get their assignments straight every single snap on the field. And I still think Michigan does enough offensively to confuse them. It'll be an awesome matchup if we could get it again. But I do think Georgia has a lot more possibilities of losing in this playoff than they did last year.
Yeah, I just don't know though if Michigan would be able to stand up to the Georgia running game. I think that they'd be able to control that line. They would not have a similar result like they did against Ohio State. Ohio State would not lose that line. Would not win. Ohio State's a different team, basically. I can't get the damn words out of my mouth. Georgia's much better up front on both sides of the ball. I don't think Michigan would have as much success running the ball nor stopping the Georgia running game. And I think now that Michigan, as Harbaugh said, they emptied the playbook for that one. There are no surprises. I would just have to back Georgia knowing that you're getting, again, Kirby Smart and that staff, that opportunity you're giving them 10 days to prepare for a team that they kind of know what they saw last year. They know the wrinkles that they have now with the new quarterback. Is it going to be a 30-point blowout like it was? No, it won't be that, but I still would expect Georgia to win. I think I saw that someone posted a number would be right around 7.5 or so. So even the odds makers are kind of expecting a number going into the game what they were last year.
This was great catching up. Reminded me of old times and all the emails and all the topics and all the discussions for sport that we all love a ton. And if you love betting on college football, check out Stanford Steve of the Bear, Chris Felica, Steve Coughlin. A pleasure, boys. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Arby's, the perfect sandwich. Let me think. Buffalo chicken sandwich is done right. Can change your life. I've never been the same in the best way possible when I experienced my first one. Also loving to travel, I've had gyros, also known as gyros. I think if you go to Arby's and you order a gyro, they're not going to judge you. And that's what I like about them. Nice chicken, perfectly sauced, butter lettuce, good body. You know what I'm talking about. And that's what Arby's has. They have more than you may even realize. Get out there and explore. Well, now is the chance to try Arby's and find your favorite sandwich. With a wide range of options, see for yourself that Arby's sells more than roast beef. Plus, for a limited time, Arby's Rewards members get one free sandwich with purchase every week in April online only. Simply join Arby's Rewards and order ahead today. Order on the app or Arby's.com. This episode is brought to you by Hulu Plus Live TV. Looking for a better way to watch live TV? Stream your favorite sports and shows on over 95 live channels with Hulu Plus Live TV. Get access to Hulu's entire streaming library, Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, all in one plan. Start your free trial of Hulu Plus Live TV today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Access content from each service separately. Learn more at Hulu.com. Before we get to life advice, we'll give you our picks for the week, our FanDuel year-long contest. Sans Cerruti for a bit here. All right, Kyle. Do you remember how you did last week?
Yep. I had a weird bet that I was really excited about. It was Za'Darius Smith and Judon to both have sacks. Neither one had a sack. I just got the players wrong. So I'm going to not be doing any more of this weird stuff. I'm going to go back to vanilla stuff, like I said, because it's the only thing I know I could get sometimes.
All right. I'm going to get a little bit more aggressive. We're going to give you three picks, three non-public God. Picks. Yep. Here we go. All right. So, Titans, according to FanDuel, number one sportsbook in America, looking at their page right now, a lot of action on the Titans +2. At Philadelphia, people buying the Titans. So we'll take the Eagles -2 at home. A lot of people like the Dolphins getting 3.5 at San Francisco. I will take San Francisco -3.5. And a lot of action on the Lions. Lions football -2 at home against the Jags. That means I'll take the Jags +2. So some interesting stuff on that one. That it feels like the Niners are becoming this trendy thing. But maybe that's more in media circles.
Public money. So you just throw out three picks.
Yeah, I want three picks.
Three picks, and then what? So this is, you're adding three to your stand. Is this like when Bill's down $4 million in $1 million picks and he bets $1 million on five games? Like, how is this affecting is this all going to count as one bet for our,
It's Cerruti rules. Cerruti. I mean, if you have a problem, we can have a house meeting about this.
When you're half less than 50%, if you throw out three, like maybe it'll work in my favor anyway. So I guess I don't have an issue with it. I just wanted to make sure I knew what was happening because you could be down three too, just as easy as you could be up 1, 2, or 3.
I think the approach is that I need to start playing multiple games to. Have a better chance of going
strategy.
Right. 2-1 as opposed to trying to go 1-0 every
week. Got it. Okay. You know,
that's kind of how we were crunching some numbers over here at the estate, and that was
volume shooter.
The new thing we were coming up with. And nobody keeps track of anybody's bets. So
I do. I've got a Google Doc.
Right. You do? All right. Yeah. Well, we need to let the audience know where we're at. I know I'm below 500.
Yeah, me too.
So anyway, maybe Cerruti will win this. Although can he win?
If he has the greatest day of betting ever when he comes back, I mean.
Yeah, but I don't know that he can win the contest if he doesn't come back in time for the Super Bowl to be over. Right, yeah, if he's not back by the Super Bowl.
That's when he's aiming to come back. So that's why I was like, oh, maybe he just has to do like 12 Super Bowl prop bets and he has to guess the exact number of yards and touchdowns and the exact score. It's like, maybe if you have the best day ever, man, you can win this.
I mean, you have to ask the question, like, is it worth having a kid to miss out on winning this?
Big time.
Yeah.
People are asking.
Yeah. I don't know the answer. So I'm not going to guess. Okay. So there you go.
All right. And so I am deciding to just go back to a good old Commanders over, which hasn't failed me yet. So it's the over under is 40 for the Commanders and the Giants. It just seems low. It is a low season. I wouldn't be surprised if these teams muck this whole thing up and it's ugly, but I'm going to say over 40 points in Commanders-Giants.
Perfect. All right. Enjoy that NFC East battle with all of those teams in the playoffs right now. Does that still hold up? I think it does. me just double check it. It was unbelievable when I saw it the other day. Yeah, Eagles, Dallas, Giants, Commanders. Those are your top. Yeah, there you go. It's playoff. There you go, man. I love it. A little playoff preview. Who knows what we're going to learn from that one. For the latest odds, check out FanDuel Sportsbook.
You want details? Fine. I drive a Ferrari 355 Cabriolet. What's up? I have a ridiculous house in the South Fork. I have every toy you can possibly imagine. And best of all, kids, I am liquid. So, now you know what's possible. Let me tell you what's required.
Today's life advice is presented by Modelo. Modelo knows it takes fight to be a full-time fan. There will be good days and bad ones, but when you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Modelo celebrates those who treat being a fan like it's their full-time job. That's why it's the official beer sponsor of the college football playoff. Modelo, brewed for full-time fans, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Visit ordermodelo.com to shop delivery or pick up options for Modelo near you. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. It's time for life advice. Life advice, the email, lifeadvicerr@gmail.com. Okay. What's up, Kyle? Just want to check in and say hello.
How's it? Doing well. You know, I feel like without Steve here, you don't really want to do too much kicking the can around in the beginning. Do I make you nervous when we're just talking about nothing? I know. I mean, you're not a nervous guy. Just I've noticed that ever since Steve left, we don't really bullshit in the beginning anymore. It's sort of like just right down to business. You're kind of in and out, pretty surgical. Am I just reading into this way too much again?
It isn't anything. Like, if I felt like we had something, I like doing the stuff about nothing before this. I just do. Do you want to bullshit right now? Do you
have chest? Just some notes for next time, I guess, because now I'd feel like you're just trying to do me a favor. So maybe next time, Monday, after a long weekend, maybe we'll have some stories, you know?
I love sharing some stories. So
big story guy over here too. Could be if we finish this thing up early. This thing might be up super early on Friday. So,
I don't know. I lose track of holidays. So I was like, wait, we got one early December. I feel like we got a couple big ones coming up. I don't remember this as a kid, but I lose track of all holidays because we work, you know?
Yeah,
you know?
We do. That's right. We do.
We work. We're there for the people. It isn't a Steve thing. It isn't a you thing. It's just, but feel free to throw on the text thread. Hey, I got a good story.
I'll prep you.
Got a good yarn for the audience, and all right, we can start there. If I have something on my mind, yeah, we'll do it. But I have been a tad more surgical lately. I appreciate that.
Cleared that up. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I noticed. I care, man.
I've been pretty intense lately. I don't know what the fuck is going on. So maybe we are going to do an aside here a little bit. I don't know. Like, if I do some sort of, like, this morning I had my Athletic Greens, shout out. But I was, like, really fired up to get the day going. And I was really excited to go to the gym. Instead of just drinking like a normal human being, I chug it. And then I had shit all over my shirt. And then I had to take the shirt off and immediately throw it in the laundry. And I went, why couldn't you just fucking drink that like a normal person? Then the other day when I went to the beach, I decided to kick off my sandals, but I had to make it some weird competition where I was going to do it, where I was going to kick him up and then catch it with the opposite hand.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I have it down. And then I did it one time and, like, I think I pulled something. I was like, why can't you just fucking take your shoes off like a normal person? And so I've had this real intense thing. And then I don't know. I was showering and it got way too intense in there where I like hit something because I was like, oh, I got to make this quick and I got to go. So I've been on this efficiency train, but what I'm doing is turning into a psychopath. So enjoy.
Have you been getting in the water enough? I feel like that'll slow you down. I mean, obviously if the sandals are coming off, probably that, but are you getting in enough? I mean, I am getting in enough,
but hit by 2 stingray bites last 4 times in the water.
I don't like that at all.
No, the first one I didn't even notice. The second one I did because I stepped on it. And when you step on a fish or stingray, it's just like nobody likes with their feet going, oh, cool, this mushy fucking thing I just trampled. And then when you get stung, you don't feel it right away. So their coordination is incredible, you know, just getting stomped on by whatever my mass compared to theirs is. I mean,
and then being able to bite you too. These aren't Steve Irwin stingrays, right? These aren't hospital stingrays.
I looked it up because this one was bleeding and I could see the barb and I could feel it. And it's just like somebody sticking you in the heel with a needle over and over and over again. And so it's annoying. Yeah, but it's not like this writhing pain. It's just you're like, oh, this is going to suck. And I've had it happen before. And the sea urchin thing that I had cliff diving was 100 times worse than any stingray thing. Again, a non-Steve Irwin stingray, apparently. But this this one was a little annoying. And it just, it kind of makes you be like, all right, I got to do the shuffle. You know, I got to get in the water because in the afternoons, the tide is so low, which makes the waves loud, which I actually don't mind. Okay. There you go.
All right. That was good. That was good enough for me. Thanks, man.
Was it? Cool. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Yeah. A little too intense lately. Not sure what it's about. Surgical, though. I do like that. All right. Let's get to it. Let's be efficient. This one is titled, Kyle, Getting the Group to Move Downtown. Ooh, this is in your wheelhouse. I like this one. Early 20s. 6'3", 195. No gym stats. Cardio, light lifting, had a spine injury. Okay. In his early 20s. He's 25 now. He lives in a small market NBA town and recently moved to the downtown area in the city. My friends and I all grew up in this city, and up until recently, I lived with a few friends in a house in the suburbs. I decided to move out of my old house to get a place to myself in the downtown area of the town. There weren't any huge issues with my old roommates other than some typical things. Dishes not being done. Fucking dishes.
Classic. I told you.
Right?
I told you.
Do dishes have any remorse? Any remorse for the shit that they've caused with families and friends? That would be great. Just a line of t-shirts. I blame the dishes.
A dishes campaign.
Right. Right. Trash piling up, et cetera. I was a little over the roommate thing. I can afford to get my own spot.
Nice.
So I did. I still hang out with the old roommates and we're all still friends. My entire friend group still lives out east in the suburbs, which is about 25 minutes east by car. It's not terribly inconvenient to get there, but it's a mundane part of town. I feel like, by the way, as an aside, this has to be a Midwest town. I'm thinking Detroit. I'm thinking Cleveland.
Maybe I was wondering Milwaukee. Oklahoma City even. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be a small market. But I feel like the middle territories in the Northeast, did you ever say a part of town was east or west, north or south of here?
I mean, kind Maybe. Of, because we're just like, you know, well, you're going west on 44. It's like people would throw directions in there, but it
New
wouldn't
York
be
City
like.
It doesn't count because it's just, it's all named that way. You know
what yeah.
I mean? And you
yeah,
always kind of know when you're going north or south, east or west. I just feel like this is just a statement. And it's going to end up being debated, so maybe I shouldn't even do it.
Thanks in advance for your emails.
I feel like more expansive areas of this country, there's more of a tendency to describe directional.
Yeah. Okay.
Nah, it's just the theory.
Well, let us know what you guys think. We really
yeah, working theory. Hear. Don't. I'm not that interested in it. I don't even know why I derailed this for it. Okay, so he's east. They're all east of the city. Even though a good amount of the group works downtown, they mostly just drive back after work. If they go out, they go to the same few spots in the suburbs that we've always gone to for basically 10 years now. 10 years? You're 25? Just fucking wasted at the Applebee's? 15? More riblets. Okay. And we see the same general crowd. I want to spread the gospel about how convenient it is to be able to walk to work, the bars, the cool areas like park shops around my new spot. I am significantly happier not having to drive back and forth every day, and I really enjoy the downtown atmosphere. I don't want to sound smug while talking about how much better I think my new spot is than the suburbs where we grew up.
What okay. you do.
But
you definitely
yeah, I don't think he sounds smug, though, but I understand the concern. Everyone knows someone who moved to a new area or starts something new and suddenly acts better than everyone. I don't want to sound that way. I want the group to actually consider the positives of moving rather than coming off as a selfish friend. The cost of living isn't that much higher in my new spot since we do not live in a big or expensive city to begin with. Yeah, maybe this is OKC. Most people in the group are making more money than I am anyway. The crime is bad everywhere in this city, so sometimes I get some comments about how dangerous it can be. Maybe it's not Oklahoma City, though, unless things have dramatically changed since the last time I was there. The group in the suburbs actually experiences more crime out east than I do in the new gentrified downtown area. The area in the suburbs has break-ins and shootings close by, and I haven't had any issues since I've moved away.
Sounds like rose-colored glasses, buddy. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, actually, the suburbs is where all the shit's going down. The city is great. I've been
way
here
more
for 3 months.
Way more shootings by you guys at Dillard's. Now I'm just trying to guess what this is the whole time. And if I say Detroit, then I don't know. Then people are going to get mad. So I'm not saying Detroit.
Don't
I'm
do it.
Wondering. I'm just wondering. I think it would be a lot more fun for my group if they got out of the suburbs, especially in our mid-20s, and enjoyed the town a little bit. It's definitely selfish for me to try and convince everyone to pay a little higher rent and move to the area where I move, but I also think it's pretty lame to live around the same general area that we've always lived in, go to the same spots, and see generally the same crowd. We're all young and stuck in our hometown for the time being, since everyone's job is unlikely to drastically change anytime soon. How do I convince at least a couple core guys that already work downtown to get a place nearby? Should I just accept that I may have to drive east every so often to catch up with the fellas? Thanks. All right. Well, I get it. Like, you want your buddies to come do what you wanted to do. And everybody has a different age where it's like, I don't want to do the roommate thing anymore. Maybe they still want to do the roommate thing. And maybe because they make, you said that you all kind of make in the same ballpark money wise. Well, you can make the same, but it doesn't mean that everybody wants to spend the same. So they may look at your situation going, you know, I actually don't want to spend the couple extra $500. Like, you could, some people would process it. I know that I would when I were younger, like fucking $500 or more or whatever.
That's crazy, dude.
Like, no, I would go, I don't care. Whatever. And then really? I would, no, then it would be tighter and I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't plan. I wouldn't budget. I wouldn't do those things. I would just be like, whatever. I mean, I was so single-minded on the career stuff that nothing else mattered. I'd be like, oh, hey, if you break this lead, I don't care. Whatever. You couldn't faze me. Unfazable. Not a great planner, though, right? So just because you think these guys can afford it, they may be far more strict with their savings and what they may or may not want to do. I think you're making a good point. I think as far as trying to convince them, here's what I'd ask. If they wanted to do it, they'd probably already have done it, right? I mean, they must like living there. They must like being outside of the city. They must like the suburbs, maybe having a little, you know, piece of grass out back. You know, I haven't had a backyard really ever, and sort of in West Hartford, but not really. And then everywhere else I've lived, you know, it's really close living by everybody else. And some people look at that and be like, I couldn't stand that. I could never do it. And I totally understand, because I actually grew up with like long driveways in some plot of land in the middle of nowhere. So they may hate the idea of not just having that little patch of grass out back. And I would think if they were more open to it, like, it sounds like you want to convince them. So I don't know. I mean, Kyle, I got a couple other things, but do you think, like, how would you handle this? If you were your buddies, you're like, what are you guys doing? Come live with Rock and Kyle, DTB.
Well, what I would do is, I think what I told our Monday guy was like, find your crew, find the guys who like you want to try to move in with. Like, I think if you're cool, like this might be.
This guy already has friends, though. The Monday guy didn't have friends.
Right. Yes. Correct. But I guess the goal is the same.
Sorry to Monday guy.
Yeah. I hope it's going a lot better this week. Basketball and a should be starting up right about now. But
good point.
I think that you basically, it's going to work a lot easier if you're like, do this with me, not like you guys should come do what I'm doing. It's like, you know, you have to decide, like, are you into, like, do you want these guys badly enough to like try to get an apartment with them, other than just because they're not, I feel like they're gonna look at you different, like, dude, why are you like all up in my shit? Like, you just want me closer. You're not like, you know, if you're like, dude, I found this place, it's a 3-bedroom, it's awesome, we could even use the other bedroom as an office, whatever. Like,
like, I don't think he wants roommates.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be harder for you to just be like, dude, you guys don't see this? Like, look, like, I don't see how, it's like they're already in the city. It's not like you're trying to like sell them on a city they've never been to. They spend like every workday in this city, right? I just think it's going to be harder without like you trying to actually make a plan, because you're just sort of being like, you're sort of being like the house police. So I just think it's not going to go over the way you want. I mean, maybe you could try to have somebody like spend, I mean, What's the selling point? Like, we could walk home from the bars instead of, you know, taking a cab or sobering up before you drive home. Like what's the selling point that like these guys that you want to be able to do with them, other than just live 20 minutes closer to you? I think it's just hard.
I need to know the city, because that would impact a lot. Like, let's say, let's forget the crime stuff that he was talking about. But if somebody said like, all right, this is Salt Lake, then I go, okay, the guy that doesn't want to live in Salt Lake is never living in Salt Lake. Okay. Oklahoma City's downtown. Again, it's been a really long time since I've been there, so I'm not caught up on anything. I can't speak to it, so I'm not going to. But I would say the general thing of Oklahoma, like, if you're a guy that's cool kind of being a little further away from the city, you'll probably never want to live in the city. So that's my big hesitation here. It's like, I get why you want to do it, but have you thought that maybe none of them want to ever do it? Like, if you're sitting there trying to convince them and they're saying no, eventually I would just give up. Now, if you want to go Ole Miss recruiting style, why don't you have a little fete little soiree, invite over some of the local gals. You pack that place. You pack that place with some 20-somethings. I don't know if you have that in you, if you have that kind of game. Maybe at work, you just friend zone it out and be like, hey, can you bring like a couple of your friends or whatever, some of my guys are coming in, and you throw a 4-to-1 ratio at these fucking dudes. And, you know, they've got a couple old granddads going and they're going to start saying, I think I like the vibes. I like what's going on.
That's phase one.
How do I get in? How do I get into this? And then you have little pamphlets be like, oh, there's a 2-bedroom here. There's a studio here. That one's a little cheaper.
Phase two is you're firing apartments.com all the time. Every day you're firing apartments.com.
So what you need to do is throw the bender of all benders. And then you have a plan after that. It's this big group and, you know, you get those guys thinking a little bit differently. But my hesitation with you spending too much time on it, although I completely get what you're saying, and it'd be awesome if you had one or two extra buddies living in the city and that you're loving it. But if they already understand the concept of this and they've resisted it this long. So in the age that they're going, like they're, if your situation was the equator, they're sailing north or south away from it as they get older.
Agreed.
Brought it full circle.
They did.
Just like a globe. All right. This one's great. I fucking love this one. This is such a good choice, Kyle. Okay. I did read this one ahead of time because there was a lot to it. Ghosted by a professional athlete. Parentheses, probably not what you're thinking. Because when I hear ghosted by a professional athlete, I'm like, no way, he wasn't into you. Although we'd love those emails from, you know, male or female.
I don't know. I've been in this world enough that I'm thinking it's a dude who got a number and it's just overused it or something.
Yeah.
Now that I've been in this world for a number of years.
Yeah, dudes, famous dudes will change up a number on you. All right, here we go. This is going to be good. Hey guys, love the show. 5'8", 160, 205, 10 times 4 bench press on the Smith machine. Side note. Can I use the Smith machine to bench press? I know it's easier, but it also feels way more secure without a spotter. I know it's weak, so feel free to crush me on this. I'm not going to crush you, but I think you'll be stronger if you go lighter on the standard bench press and develop some of the muscles and stabilizing stuff by doing that, where the Smith kind of keeps it pretty regimented. I'm not completely anti-Smith machine. I use it for incline. Because I feel like when I use just the standard incline and I go heavy, I feel like my shoulders are going to rip out of the sockets now. So the Smith at least allows me that pushing motion at a different angle. But I would say to be stronger, go lighter on the flat bench. But I get your point. Kyle, anything with that?
Yeah, I heard you. No, I would defer to Ryan. I've got my own thing, but I haven't researched it enough. So,
all right, that's the email. That was a good one. I told you guys. No, here's the point. All right, here's my dilemma. This past summer, we were traveling to Pensacola for my daughter's dance competition, and we had a layover in Atlanta. You guys taking this stuff seriously. While there, my 12-year-old son, who's an absolute football dork, noticed a guy, that was very funny, holding a Cleveland Browns helmet waiting at the same gate as us. He asked me if I knew who it was, and I said no, but he didn't really care about that. He asked me if I could ask for a photo. I said sure, but I could tell that he, my son, was a little bit nervous. After a minute or two, though, he worked up the courage to go to talk to the guy. Sure enough, the guy was super nice and glad they took the picture with him. You don't need to mention this part, but we looked him up to see who it was. Okay, all right. So the guy plays for the Browns. Got it. And it all checks out. All right, a month later, at the end of July, I thought I'd make an awesome gift if I could somehow get this guy to sign the photo they took together and surprise my son with it for Christmas. I found him on Instagram and reached out to ask if I could send him a copy for him to sign and send back. And again, he agreed, no problem. He gave me the address of the facility, told me to send it there. I spent $30 on shipping the photo both ways, included a prepaid envelope with our address already on it to make it as easy as possible for him. All he had to do was open it, sign the photo, and drop it back in the mail. It took a few weeks for him to respond saying he received it, but he apologized and said he'd been busy with training camp, which was totally understandable. Yeah, I think that's pretty understandable. He assured me that he received it, though, and was planning on dropping it back in the mail the next day. This was on August 31st, and I still haven't heard from him since. Okay, so we're 3 months from the last correspondence. Since I had the tracking information, I could see that he hadn't dropped the envelope back off yet, so I was getting anxious, but I didn't want to bug him about it too much. I checked in every couple of weeks with a quick IG message asking if he had the chance to drop it off yet, but no response. Let me read that sentence again because it's important. I checked in every couple of weeks with a quick IG message asking if he had had a chance to drop it off yet, but no response. Every couple of weeks. I figured he was probably too busy with the season going on, so I decided to give it a rest until their bye week when maybe you'd have a free minute. So at the beginning of November, I told him I was happy to send another copy if I needed to, but I still haven't gotten a single response from him. So what do I do now? I know it's not the end of the world, but I really got my hopes up once he agreed to do it, and now I can't stop thinking about it. I would stop thinking about it is my first piece of advice, man. Stop thinking about it. I would honestly just prefer if he told me to fuck off so I could put the idea to rest. But the lack of response or explanation as to what changed is what's bothering me the most. My son looks for him every time the Browns are on TV, and he's become a huge fan. He was talking about how great he is after we're making this a little too specific, so we'll leave out that detail. But the son is a big fan. My son doesn't know I've been working on this, so I smile at his enthusiasm, but it also bums me out knowing this guy isn't exactly coming through for him. I know the odds of this working out for me are slim to none, but I'm not giving up unless you tell me to. Do I just spend another $30 on shipping and send another copy, hoping he sends it back this time? Is there a better way for me to try to get a hold without being completely annoying? Again, it's not that important in the grand scheme of things, but I know it would mean the world to my son. I can just imagine the smile he'd have opening that gift on Christmas. I'm just a desperate dad trying to do a cool thing for my son. I'd really appreciate any advice you have. Also, I've attached the photo and the screenshots of our conversation. You guys are the best. All right, I'm not going to read all the screenshots and all the correspondence because the player does, in fact, respond to the DMs and say, cool, and he gives them the address. And there's a no problem boss in there. There's a no problem arm flex. Like, yeah, there's the emailer here, the father, has every right to believe that this was actually going to work out. What is my number one rule about young males? Okay. This is going to sound like a Scott Galloway thing, but it isn't. The number one thing that young males suck at is mailing things. I don't know if there's anything that 20-year-old males are worse at than mailing something. I'm like, when I do it now and I send a package home or to somebody or return something, I'm like blown away. And then I'll be like, man, I need to take a day off. Like, that's
get in the water. That's
yeah.
Crazy.
Like, I need to relax the rest of the day. Maybe take a fucking nap. I went to the post office. Men are terrible at it. They're bad at it. I can't imagine throw into that mix instead of just average 20-something male, throw in pro athlete 20-something male. Those guys don't do shit. So back to you. What you're doing here is awesome. You are clearly a very organized person. You're an awesome dad, and you're trying to do something awesome for your son. And it's not the cost. It's not any of those things. You're like, I'm able to pull off something really unique that kind of tells the full story. You know, you were like bringing it back full circle. Here, this is a 6-month thing, and your son, imagine the idea of him opening up this picture that he took with this guy in the airport. Now he's been obsessed with him because a young kid, you're still in this age where he doesn't hate you yet. It's fucking an awesome age, and he's aware of everything, and everything's great. And this was going to be an awesome gift. So you're driven by all of this. But what I will tell you is that you probably, because I can tell how organized you are, self-addressed stamped envelope, that's a whole nother step. Like, that's another level that some people don't even get to, right, Kyle?
That's like a wedding invite. Yeah, that's
crazy. Kyle, have you ever sent a self-addressed stamped envelope to get something back in your life?
Definitely not. We were going to do it for the wedding invitations. I was like, I can't. I don't want to do it. They'll have to figure it out online. So,
okay.
I didn't want to double mail stuff. So yeah,
I left a nice pen at a friend's house in Lake Forest this summer. No, it was in May. He was like, "Well, just send." I go, "I'll send a self-addressed." First of all, he hasn't mailed me the pen,
which would have been super easy.
Which would have been easy. I was like, "I'll send you a self-addressed like UPS envelope thing. I'll just put it in there and I'll send it. Just drop it in because it's a pen. I don't want to lose it." And he was like, "No problem." Guess who hasn't even done that? And it's been since May. It's me. All right. So there's that part of it. Now, I understand what you're saying is that he told you he would do it. And I'm telling you, he thought he was going to do it. He didn't lie to you. He didn't think, I'm going to fuck this dad over and tell him I'm going to sign this picture. It's just that he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's a young athlete trying to make his way. And I can tell how organized you are, because then you were like, I hit him up knowing like, all right, I looked for the bye week and thought, like, you're a super organized person dealing with your ultimate kryptonite, somebody that is the opposite of you. Like, the super organized cannot fucking fathom the brain of the unorganized. You just feel like, why can't you just do this? It's like, no, man, that's not how I operate. I know it'd be super easy. I know it'd be awesome. It's a nice thing to do. I'm not malicious. I just don't have the same operating system that you do.
Where right? I walk past that oven mitt every day. And I'm picking it up.
And guess who wins every confrontation? The unorganized. The organized have been doing, they've been planning. They've been trying for years to counteract all the unorganized moves. They can't do anything with it. They're unbeatable.
Oh, shit.
So all I'm telling you is I'd let it go. I'd let it go. The only move, and you did bring it up, is you try one more time, right? You try one more time. You send another envelope, another picture. You map it all out, and you try to guilt them into it and go one more time. Be like, hey, I sent another picture. I know this is annoying. This is not important to you. Sympathize with him. You're a young guy making his way in this world, the crazy NFL, but I sent it one more time. And if you could do it, it would mean the world to me. And if he blows you off again, stop DMing him.
I think you nailed all the emotional parts of this, so I'm going to leave it alone. I think that was great. That was like a great monologue. I hope somebody puts that somewhere isolated. But I'm just coming in with solutions, right? You're not going to like them all, but they're not here. They're not here for you to like them all. They're just solutions.
Turn my mic off.
Fake it. Just fake it. That's one solution. We're going to go.
All right, turn the mic back on.
We're going to go from bad to good.
Forgery. Right?
A is just fake it. You can make as many copies of this thing as you want, and you can try to fake it. Who's going to know? He's never going to sell it. And if the kid does try to sell it, well, he never should have got it in the first place. So really, nobody's going to know. You could do that. You probably wouldn't feel great about it. Two, I mean, check his Instagram. A lot of these guys have business managers or something, you know, it's like for business, contact this guy. And I think those guys have to read most things that, you know, that's part of the job is reading emails that even, you know, aren't going to go anywhere. Right. So you could just like, you know, attach the screenshots and be like, listen, I've got this thing. I've exhausted all the other things. I know this isn't necessarily a business thing, but I was just hoping, because I mean, you need kind of a manager to get some of this shit done sometimes, because that's what managers are for. Athletes have like important shit on their minds, and then they have to be reminded about less important shit that they've committed to. So like maybe there's a way you can get in touch with that guy. So a lot of times it'll say for business inquiries, contact this or whatever. Or, you know, if you're organized enough, maybe there's a way you can research to find out who his manager is if it's not in his social media or whatever. Those are pretty much my only two. I mean, your last one is just to spend another $40 and ship it out there and hopefully it works. But yeah, I mean, I think the two things that you'll probably see better results from is either just faking it or getting the picture, or just buy an autographed online that's not that picture, and then he'll also have the picture that he took with him that day. I know that the best way would be to have him sign the picture that they took together, but you could also just buy an autograph online for probably not that much.
Yeah, I don't think I get what you're saying. You went forgery to buy something that's not the picture. This jersey wouldn't be expensive if you wanted to do something like that, but that's not the point. He's been on this quest. He feels like this guy entered into some sort of contract where he said he would do it.
Totally.
And by the way, he's mailing it to the facility, so all the guy has to do is sign it and hand it back to somebody who works for the team, and then that guy drops it off, right? Like, this isn't even like the guy actually has to go to the post office. But what I'm telling you is what you've done is I've seen the DMs that have gone, like, that aren't being responded to. Is now you've entered this category for this dude where he has all these people reaching out to him all the time. And even though he said he would do this, he's just going like, oh, what the fuck, this guy again. You've probably crossed over into that where it was like, oh, well, this fucking guy keeps DMing me, or like, I don't even know where that picture is anymore, or any of that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think you could send it all over again and say, hey, look, different angle. I know I've been bugging you. I know this is not important to you. It would mean everything for my kid. I sent another. It's going to be there Thursday. If you could find a way to just sign it and hand it to an assistant, go for it. But I'm just, even though you're right, you haven't done anything. Well, you've DM'd him a lot. All right. but I know why you have. But like, look, this is my old Dierks Bentley thing. I was having a birthday party. He was playing a show that night. I had like 10 people. I had a limo. I had this whole thing set up. And I hit up Dierks being like, hey, man, I got like 10. Is that good for backstage and the whole deal? And he was like, yeah, don't worry about it. And that was like a month out. And he's playing different cities every night.
Right.
And I hit him up like a week out. This, again, is somebody I've known since I was 18. So even though we're not besties, I felt like there was a certain level. And the fact that I'd like to think that my career has at least allowed me a little grace with, like, Russillo understands some of this shit.
And this isn't the highlight of your year either. It's not like, this is, you know, he's like, he's also got shit going on too, which helps.
Yeah, like I have, yeah. But again, I'm not pretending to be like a country star where, hey, man, I get it. Dude, fucking, you just see the emails we get for the show. But with Dierks, I hit him up again like a week out and going, just double checking, you know, because I had all the shit rented, the whole deal. And then there was a follow-up day of the show being like, dude, are we good? And it didn't go over well. And it didn't go over well because I'm like, I wasn't thinking about him. I was thinking about myself. This guy every day is flying to, you know, bus ride all these places. He probably can't think of, like, can't keep track of what the hell's going on. Doesn't know where he's going to be in two nights. You know what I mean? Like, you're just going over and over and over on this grind. And because I'm thinking like, well, shit, I'm just going to buy 10 tickets if I don't hear from him. So I was like, I'll hit him up one more time. And, you know, in that moment, I think he was like, Russillo's being super fucking annoying. I didn't think I was being annoying because I was on the hook for all of these people. And I didn't care about buying the tickets. I just had to make sure that we were all, because a limo ride around Hartford without a concert, isn't that great of a time?
Yeah.
I know that blows people's minds, but I'd take another swing at it, what we've already talked about. But if you don't hear back from him, let it go. Because now when he sees your name and he sees that it's another DM, even though you're right and he fucked you up here by not sending it out, he's thinking like, oh, this guy again, because he has so much other shit going on. And that's not your fault, but in his eyes, it is.
Yeah, you made a good point where I was like, you may have crossed over into the group of guys I'm ignoring. And not because I love to ignore people, it's just because there's way too many.
Yeah.
Some people have to be in this bucket, and maybe you got put in that bucket because maybe your thing got misplaced or whatever. So, you know, maybe by sending that thing, you jump back into the other bucket because you're, you know, there's a physical thing that'll be put in front of him. I don't know. But yeah, I think as things currently stand, it's nothing's going to happen unless you take some sort of action. But, you know, I would say if it doesn't work, there's always forgery. It wouldn't really be I don't even think that's a crime if you don't try to sell it.
Be like the Raven, though. You're going to be walking past it. You get older.
Yeah, well, for just a couple years of kids' happiness, like you said, soon the kid's not even going to like you anyway for a couple years. He'll come back, right? This isn't how it works.
Today's life advice was presented by Modelo. The fighting spirit means never giving up, and that's why Modelo is brewed for full-time fans, the ones willing to travel the games, who thrive under pressure. Modelo Especial is a crisp Pilsner-style lager that set the standard for authentic Mexican beer for true full-time fans. And it's now the official beer sponsor of the college football playoff. Modelo, brewed for full-time fans, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Visit ordermodelo.com to shop delivery or pickup options for Modelo near you. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Everybody enjoy their weekend. Thanks to Kyle. As always, that was a fun one. We'll be back on Monday. We will have Trent Dilfer next week. The new UAB head coach, texting with him, said, hey, we got to do this, run it back. He was like, yeah, man, we'll figure it out. So we'll have him on, talk about his decision. Pretty excited about that interview. And I think that'll do it for us. Ryan Russillo Podcast, we're in your Spotify.